gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be reading the Max Baucus bill before breakfast. It is. Who wants watered down gruel, everybody?
Regurgitated.
Yeah, that's the biggest piece of crap.
That doesn't appeal to anybody.
Except the insurance companies.
No, they like it. They would like some more, please, sir. May I have some more?
Well, can we now stop talking about this bipartisan crap and actually get something done?
You know, as we pointed out yesterday, there is another bill that came out of the Senate that does have the public option. So
let's use that one.
Yeah, the Baucus bill has to be reconciled with that one.
Thank you.
And there are
Who are we negotiating with? Who are we compromising with? What? How did we get this pile of dreck? Oh, pardon me. As you imagine, I've had an extra bowl of a Carnation Instant Bitch in addition.
Actually, it's a glass.
Yeah, it comes in a glass.
It's not a bowl.
I've had a glass of that and a bowl of Max Baucus Healthcare gruel.
Okay. Ooh.
Because I...
Breakfast of Champions?
Orlando and back in 2 days. Wow. Just got back late last night.
The Breakfast of Champions, more like it.
Hey!
With the Flavin.
Exactly. Anyway, I spoke to the Laborers International Union of North America, Ooh. Whose slogan is, Feel the Power! Woohoo! I didn't want to be the one to tell them it sounds a little like a vibrator ad, but I could feel the power. They are an awesome union. Laborers International Union of North America! We had a great time. Here's the fun fact for me.
What?
85% male. Hello, everybody.
Hello, sailor and worker.
Fleet Week for Mama. It was Fleet Week for Mama in Orlando. A lot of skinny dipping in the harbor there around them.
The harbor in Orlando, which is pretty much landlocked?
I was in Disney World. I didn't realize that. This is how stupid I am. I asked the guy driving me. I'm like, what is Disney World near here? He's like, we're in it. Who knew? I thought it was all like
what hotel did you stay
water
at?
Slides or something. I don't know. The Disney Harbor Resort. Disney Yacht and Harbor Resort thing.
Okay. Whatever. That's a good place.
Anyway, a good time was had by all. We're going to have Terry O'Sullivan. He's awesome, the president, on next week of the big union.
And he knows Gerald McEntee.
We love our union guys.
Yes, we do.
Salt of the earth.
Awesome.
Oh, these guys, a lot of construction guys. They, you know, they.
Did they wolf whistle you as you walked
no,
in?
No, but I wolf whistled them.
Oh, okay.
Just to kind of turn things around.
Hey.
I was sexually harassing the construction guys. Would you like to hear a couple of my big jokes, Jim?
These
are my big jokes to the union guys. Well, this is what they do. This is all the stuff they do. I said, I thanked them for their work. I said, you build the things that, you know, keep our country going. You keep our cities and states running as public employees. You respond to disasters like 9/11, Katrina, and, of course, the Bush administration. Because, you see.
That's an applause line right there.
Mm-hmm.
You had it written on the napkin.
Applause line.
Wait for applause.
This is the napkin that I had on the plane.
Yeah, old Stephanie Miller late night talk show stationery.
Yeah, maybe that wasn't a good idea. It was all I could find. I tried to class it up from the cocktail napkin I normally write it on.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I said, you guys make the buildings safe again by removing hazardous waste, like getting George Bush out of the White House and Barack Obama in. Ladies and flavin' time. Okay. They do. They remove hazardous waste.
Pause for laughter.
Okay. They weatherize. They do a lot of, they're the guys that do a lot of the green jobs and know how to weatherize and that stuff. And I said, you know, Governor Mark Sanford's wife moved out to their beach house. I understand you weatherized it for her because she'll let him back in when hell freezes over. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Yeah.
And then I said, I. And I held up my chattering comedy teeth.
Yeah. And then put an arrow through your head.
And a rubber chicken.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I want to tell you.
These are the jokes, folks.
Anyway, it was great. As you can imagine, some folks not too happy with the health care compromises and the some Democrats who shall go unnamed.
Mm.
All right. We talked a lot about the crazy 912ers. And
yes.
that whole crowd, the teabaggers, crazy train people, those people.
Oh. Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person.
Chris?
You're fired.
I'm
fired.
See, that was the cue for the 9/12 crazy
trip. I'd like to see a Christian in the White House is what I'd like to see.
You don't think Obama's a Christian?
No, I don't. He's a Muslim.
He's already destroyed, like, most of the country. I mean, come on, that's crazy.
Washington, D.C. is district of corruption. That's why everything is going so bad the way it's going.
Barack Obama, in its content, means Antichrist.
His mother was white, so he's not an African American, but he's going that way because that pays off for him.
What?
And one reason I'm here today is because of my grandson. And if he said, Grandma, what did you do when our country is changing? I said, I did this. I stood up. Oh, I don't work anymore.
What I'm saying is that Hitler was a good speaker. He turned a lot of people on with his eloquent speeches, and so was our current president.
Well, if fascism is a form of socialism, I would believe. I mean, they're all intertwined.
What?
Communism, fascism, socialism.
What? Czar is in the White House.
What is a czar? What are they?
Russian czar. This is America. We don't have czars in America.
Well, the czars, we don't know who they answer to. We don't know how much they're being paid. God.
Wow.
Take a picture of my shirt.
Wow.
What a bunch of morons.
Wow, that is a whole pile of stupid there.
The killed the czar.
Yes! They're not...
The czars
aren't communists.
Bolsheviks are not synonymous.
That little montage was kind of funny and kind of really terrifying.
Have they checked the average IQ of the average American lately? I think it's down to double digits.
How many of those people do you think have ever injured themselves eating pudding with a rubber spoon?
Spoon hurt bad!
Wow. Those are your fellow Americans, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy.
Oi.
Okay. Wow. All right. By the way.
What?
You know what? It's okay that you play the wrong
no,
montage there, because I understand that you're a new baby DJ. Who got in and out of the breaks yesterday when Mama wasn't here? Who's baby's first radio show?
I've done it before.
I hear John Fugel saying did a fabulous job.
He did a great job.
Can you? But you did actually say at some point yesterday, getting in and out of the break. What did you say?
No. When I was a baby DJ back in the mid '90s, I actually said playing the hits while you're spraying your pits.
We're the Breakfast Flakes. Hey.
That was the day. You know, those were the days of the wacky morning zoos.
Mm-hmm. So that was how many times did I say they ain't related, but they do be brothers?
That's right.
Those were the days before the ozone layer was depleted and people actually did spray their bits.
Yeah, exactly.
They had spray when you were DJing? Okay. Let's, all right. Now's when we check some news. All right. Thank you, baby DJ.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
And it was on a country music morning show.
Yeehaw.
Baby's got a radio show.
I want a Christian president.
Okay, Jim.
Communist Muslim. Okay. Fascist.
Here is a, from the Department of Sherlock. George W. Bush didn't understand the economy as president, according to his ex-speechwriter in a new book. Love this story. Former President Bush and his National Economic Council director Al Hubbard are slammed by speechwriter Matt Latimer. I think I'm saying that right, in his new book. It seemed like every time President Bush stepped before the cameras, the Dow tumbled. It's a good thing the public didn't see what was going on behind the scenes, according to...
Oh,
it was even worse. It was even stupider than he seemed in front of the cameras.
Wow.
Bush is pictured as desperate, bumbling, lame duck with a little grasp of the economic turmoil around him in the tell-all book.
Really?
Speechless Tales of a White House Survivor. Hours before Bush was to give a speech last September outlining the administration's $700 billion plan to buy up troubled mortgages, for instance, Latimer writes that Bush clearly didn't understand his own plan. We're buying low and selling high. Latimer quotes Bush as saying over and over. He seems kind of repeaty. He seems like he'd be repeaty.
Yeah. We got a little bit of that during his administration.
Latimer said the problem was his proposal didn't work like that. Finally, after some staffers explained to Bush that his mortgage bailout plan included no such likely return, Bush barked, "Well, why did I sign on to this proposal if I don't understand what it does?" So he got mad at other people for being dumb as a stump?
How come I'm so dumb? Why don't nobody tell me nothing?
We did, sir.
He was mad at other people.
I wasn't listening.
For his lack of understanding. Okay. Perhaps this wasn't surprising. Latimer suggests, here's my favorite part, is where the fart jokes come in. In a White House where one of the top economic advisors was Bush buddy Al Hubbard. Oh, another crony.
Yeah.
Who comes off sounding more like Otter in Animal House. The only thing I knew about Al, Latimer writes, is that he went around putting whoopee cushions on people's chairs in the West Wing.
What?
That's great.
That's the way you'd picture the West Wing under George Bush. All right. We have some behind-the-scenes audio. Yes, we do. Yes, indeedy.
Okay, Al, let's go over this once again. We're going to buy up all these sub-primo mortgages, dress them up real pretty so somebody buy them up at inflationated prices, kind of taking a 84 Celica with a blown head gasket and dropping it inside the body of a brand spanking new Corvette, and we'll make a killing, right?
Not exactly, sir.
What do you mean?
There's no killing to be made, sir.
Well, what's the point, then, if we ain't making a profit? Like buying high and selling once? Shame on you.
No.
Sir, the point is, we have to rescue the global financial system from total collapse, which could otherwise lead to worldwide depression, famine, and possibly World War III.
Dang it, somebody screwed the pooch here, and I want to know who it is.
That would be the President of the United States, sir, leader of the free world.
I knew Dick was behind this somehow. Oh, dang it, Al, you and your gold dirty whoopee cushions. You get me every time.
In other news, there's another book out. Taylor Branch has written a book called The Clinton Tapes.
Oh, really?
September 29th from Simon & Schuster. The author recounts a 2000 sit-down where Bill Clinton suggested a Gore-Hillary ticket would hands down be the Democrats' best shot at keeping the White House. Clinton didn't think Gore would go for it, and he was right. The former VP chose Joe Lieberman. The rest, they say, is history.
Oh, boy.
We used to talk once a week, Clinton said of his VP. I'm doing Bush again. I think maybe he slipped into a trance or something.
Gore seems like a pod person.
Yes.
What's that, Jim? Do we have that audio?
Yes, we have that audio as well.
Why, we do.
Look, Al, I know you want to distance yourself from me because of that BJ thing, but hear me out. You need Hillary on the ticket. I mean, come on. Clinton Gore, right into Gore Clinton. It'd be like another four-term Roosevelt administration. Think all the great things we could accomplish. Think of all the trips Hillary'd be going on. Think of all the parties I could have in the VP mansion. I tell you what, there'd be a lot of navels being observed in the Naval Observatory. Some more interesting parts, too.
Must pick Lieberman.
Say what?
Not yet. Must take orders from AIPAC.
Al, are you in some kind of trance or something?
Must let Republicans set agenda. Oh, sorry, there's a door opening here. forgot that one.
Must sabotage Democrat agenda. Must not let on that Joe Lieberman is pulling the strings. Joe, what are you doing in the closet? Have you brainwashed Al? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Say it ain't so, Joe. But why? I'm tired of being hazed by the Democrats in the Senate, all the swirlies and atomic wedgies. A Gore-Lieberman ticket would be a stealth Republican administration. I'll show them tax cuts for rich people, unnecessary wars, no regulation of any kind. I'll show those liberals. It'll never work, Joe. Well, then there's always Plan B. I'll devise a butterfly ballot that will make all the blind old yentas in Florida accidentally vote for Buchanan, and there will be an actual Republican administration for 8 years, which will lead the country into the abyss. Vengeance shall be mine.
Must dance the Macarena.
I'll make $1 million.
That's all for Stand Up News. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. Oh, there's a tile ad for Jim Ward's website, StephanieMiller.com.
Yes, check
you
it
can
out,
email us all there, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of Deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, by the way,
what?
We have folks on the Newsmaker hotline this morning.
That's right. That's right.
Christine Romans, by the way, from CNN, host of Your Money.
That's right.
Not technically Your Money. It's a sort of a theoretical thing.
Actually, it's Your Dollar Signs, 5 in a row. I think it's pronounced Your Money.
All right, then we'll clear.
We'll
clear that up when we get her on in just a few minutes. And Representative Tim Bishop, Democrat of the great state of New York, next hour to talk about all sorts of stuff in the news, health care. And hey, how about loans for what do you call it? College kids. guess what? The Republicans are against it for the same reason they're against everything. We'll find out all about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, that is so my humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, I didn't start yet. My bad. Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, our phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the Big Friday party. Yes, I got it. 1,000,000,001 people sent me the oily taint court document, which, may I say, is hilarious.
Yeah. it's a bit of a smackdown.
I love that.
It is hilarious. Would you like the fun facts in case you've missed it? Oily taint, the birther leader. By the way, where's our birther reporter? Did she call yesterday?
No, not
at
all.
With this update?
Not at all.
Huh. Damn it. She works with Orly, and she calls to give us updates, and she thinks that we're on her side.
Yes.
I just repeat everything she says. I'm like, yes, of course she shouldn't have to serve in the military because he's not really the commander-in-chief, right? And she's like, yes, yes, Stephanie, yes. I'm like, of course.
Well, that makes sense.
Because he's born in Kenya, right? She's like, yes.
Right, yes. It's only logical.
So she promised that she would keep it. Where the hell was she when this news broke?
I suspect she's heavily medicated now.
She was knowing
casa. I had to get it from stray listeners that have not even been deputized as official Cub reporters of the Stephanie Miller Show. Anyway, the headline is Orly Tates gets laughed out of court. She is the leader of the birther movement. She is nothing if not persistent, so she will probably be back in court soon enough. But the fairly epic smackdown she received at the hands of a federal judge, oh, by the way, a Bush appointee,
yes,
is found to be somewhat discouraging. She has been finding members of the military who claim they are concerned they might be following illegal orders because, as we all know, Obama, not really president, because he's Kenyan.
Nice try.
So she's been filing lawsuits on their behalf. In a scorching order dismissing the suit, U.S. District Judge Clay Land.
Clay Land?
Clay Land.
Appointed by George Bush.
Isn't that where Gumby lived?
Threatened her with sanctions if she files any more, quote, similarly frivolous actions in this court. Plaintiff relies upon, I just love the actual wording in this. I've just never read a document like this. Plaintiff relies upon, quote, the general opinion in the rest of the world that Barack Hussein Obama has, in essence, slipped through the guardrails to become president.
Right.
First of all, completely not true. And you can't file a lawsuit on, a lot of people say around the world that he's
some
not.
Say.
So
what bar did she pass
there
to become a lawyer?
It was a correspondence course, I think.
It was a drive-through gynecologist and law.
No, I think it was an actual bar.
Oh,
I mean, it was a ballet studio. She was at the bar.
Chris, you'll love this because you know how reliable online polls are.
Yeah.
In her complaint, according to an AOL poll,
no,
85% of Americans believe Obama was not vetted, needs to be vetted, and his vital records need to be produced. She cited an AOL poll. An illegal. Hi, Vay. 21. Is the economy getting better or not? We will talk to Christine Romans, host of Your Money on CNN, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're good. You're very good.
Mm-hmm. 33 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. 1-800-STEP-12, our phone number, toll free from anywhere. Christine Romans is the host of we'll find out if it's Your Money or Your $$$$$$. But I'm going to guess, Christine, that it's Your Money. Am I correct on CNN?
It's Your Money. It's Your and then $5 signs. And I say after the last year, it's Your $3 signs.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it gets any worse, it's just going to be a little cent sign. Just a teeny
your
little.
Pennies on CNN.
That's hilarious. Well, Christine, thanks so much for taking time for us. Because, you know, it's interesting. We, you know, a lot of the financial experts say obviously that we've been pulled back from the brink of maybe a second Great Depression. But I know in a lot of places in the country, it doesn't feel like it yet, does it?
It really doesn't. And here's the thing. The economic data, the numbers, the brainiacs who study this stuff say, look, we're in the middle of the bottoming process now. Or maybe even the recession is behind us. Technically speaking, Ben Bernanke, the Fed chief, says the recession is behind us. But when I talk to people who are worried about their job, the recession is not behind them because they're not going to spend money. They're not going to trade up to a bigger house. They're not going to buy a new car. And these are the things that really drive the economy. So you have this dichotomy here with what they say, the experts say about the economy and the way we feel. And that's actually typical. It takes 2 or 3 years sometimes after a recession for people to start to feel better and for the end of a recession to actually make it to Main Street. So
Christine,
I can see why people are a little worried.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of Ben Bernanke, here's one thing that does not give me that much confidence. I read that he was the victim of identity theft.
He was. You know, his wife lost her got her purse stolen at a Starbucks on Capitol Hill. It's true.
Oh,
and
no.
They got into Ben Bernanke's actual checking account. And you know, I was the victim of identity theft, so that didn't, you know, the head of the Fed isn't even able to protect himself. That didn't give me much confidence, however.
I know from a purse snatching, by the way. I mean, his wife must have felt, you know, and it was to pity the poor people who stole Anna Bernanke's purse and didn't realize that they'd have the full weight of the American government on their tail.
Exactly.
Somebody's cashing big checks from the U.S. Treasury that we don't recognize this.
And all of the American media, too.
What is that subject line? You know, it's interesting. I've been reading, you know, like you say, a lot of the brainiacs or people that certainly know better than I about the finances. But it seems like a lot of the experts, though, are saying they really did take the right steps. And they're talking about really the Bush administration and the Obama administration in terms of their reaction to this crisis in terms of pulling us back from the brink. Do you agree?
Yeah, more and more people are actually telling me a year after the decline and the fall of Lehman Brothers that people are now starting to say, maybe what they did and let Lehman go and save AIG and all this other stuff, maybe in the end we're going to find out it was the right choice to make. But, you know, it's going to be a while before we're going to be able to look back and say, oh, that was right or that was wrong, because we're still kind of in the middle of it. I mean, the hard part kind of comes now where we have to undo all of this historic intervention into the economy. And there are a lot of mistakes that can be made when you try to undo all of it. So we still have a lot of work to do. I mean, I really hope that people don't get the false sense that we're out of the woods here. I'm hoping that next year we're going to stop, hemorrhaging jobs. We'll start creating them again. So we do still have a lot of work to do here.
Talking to Christine Romans, the host of Your Money on CNN, you know, I know that unemployment numbers dipped unexpectedly yesterday, but it's interesting. I was speaking to the Laborers International Union of North America in Orlando yesterday, and you know, they have a lot of construction people.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, again, in certain, as you know, certain pockets of the country, in certain professions, I mean, I think their unemployment rate is, I don't even know, like 13%, something ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you're referring to yesterday's jobless claims numbers, and this was what was taken as good news, that only 500 and some thousand people filed for unemployment benefits for the very first time. So now when it's just 500,000 people filing for unemployment benefits every week, somehow that's good news. I mean, when you really think about it, that still is a very, very weak economy. We're going to get, in about a half an hour, we're going to get state-by-state jobless numbers, so I'll be able to see how things have changed. But, I mean, most everybody thinks you're going to see an unemployment rate nationwide of 10%. That's a really scary number. You've got 9 million people who are collecting a jobless check right now, and it's going to run out for hundreds of thousands of them. The only thing scarier, I sound so doom and gloom, but the only thing scarier...
Yeah, you're not peppy this morning, Christine.
No.
You're really not.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you something peppy. How the House is looking at extending unemployment benefits. Senate picks it up, you could see unemployment benefits extended, and that's going to help some families. But, you know, you also have the question of how long can the government go supporting so many people? Because 32 million people are feeding their families with, you know, government supplemental, you know, food stamps. You've got people on unemployment benefits. We have the government is really holding everything up here, keeping things afloat. You know, at some point you have to have private business take over again.
Well, yeah, but it seems like the stimulus, I agree, you know, we haven't spent a lot of it yet. We got to get the money out faster, but it seems like it is working as intended in a lot of areas. I mean, I think cash for clunkers, you can't, you know, say that wasn't a success.
Yeah, it was definitely a success. And there are others. I mean, I've met teachers. I've done all these teacher stories. I've met teachers and firefighters who wouldn't be working right now. I mean, your kids would be sitting with 35 other kids in their classroom if it weren't for some stimulus, you know, dollars that are keeping class sizes at a normal normal pace. There were some schools that were going to have to lay off all of their special ed instructors, you know, and they were able to keep their teachers because of the stimulus money. We've seen it on the roads. We, you know, whenever you're injecting $787 billion into the economy, it's going to have an effect. And, you know, the White House says it created a million jobs. We're never going to be able to count exactly how many jobs were created, but I do know, I mean, I have seen and talked to people who would not be working their job if it weren't for the stimulus. So in many respects, it is working.
Yeah, absolutely. Christine, I want to get your take on a poll. President Obama is rated more highly by the general public than by affluent U.S. investors for the job he's doing, his economic stewardship. 61% of Americans surveyed, it's a Bloomberg poll, say they view Obama favorably compared with 49% of investors in the same poll. I love this, though. Investors are almost evenly divided about whether Obama or George Bush provided better economic leadership. And I'm sorry, I may be slightly partisan. However, I'm like, George Bush got us into this economy by, like I was saying, by all standards, Obama's helping get us out. I mean, again, we're not out, but it seems to me that, you know, he's doing a pretty good job in the few months he's been in.
But you know what's interesting, Stephanie? I will say that the tack that was first taken when this whole crisis erupted was begun by Paulson and Bernanke and Timothy Geithner and George Bush, and then continued by the next administration with Bernanke and Geithner. So there has been some continuity between the two, believe it or not. Now, in terms of getting us into this mess originally, this was a mess, I think, that was maybe 25 years in the making. And I think you can look at people who sat on important committees in Congress. You can look at bankers. You can look at lobbyists. You can look at every single person in authority and say, wait a second, there was sort of an unholy alliance here that allowed this to go on for a very, very long time. It's going to take us a long time to get out of it, I
well,
think, too.
Well, yeah, I agree, Christine, but it seems like, you know, from what I've been reading, too, the president at least is taking a new tack, and it appears to be working. I mean, the Bush way, it's the same thing every time. Oh, we need, you know, no regulation, tax cuts for the rich, and this is going to work every time. And clearly it was not working, and, you know, it's the lack of regulation that got us here, isn't it?
On the regulation and the tax cuts, you're absolutely right. There's a completely different tack. In terms of firefighting the crisis, it's been the same sort of response. Now, it will have to see if they're going to be able to get the tough regulations they want through. There's already been some fracture among different regulators about how to get this done. There's no question there has to be better regulation. It just absolutely didn't work. We have regulation for the 20th century and very advanced 21st century markets and economy. They've got to get this fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that not too much time has passed and people have moved on. You know, the market's up 54% since the spring. You know, some of the heat has been taken off of this issue, and now the president and Timothy Geithner and his team, they're trying to keep the pressure on to get these changes that they need. And the Fed, you know, you look at the top of the Wall Street Journal today, the Fed says that it's going to completely remake how people are paid in the banking industry to try to prevent this again.
Mm-hmm. You know, Christine, I was going to say, what do you call it? It seems remarkably the same to me, the Republican argument, though. Even, you know, we're in the midst of the health care debate now, and it's just like, wait, insurance companies don't need any regulation. They'll regulate themselves like Wall Street did.
There's this collision of two very, very different worldviews. Yeah. But you know what? The House is controlled by the Democrats.
Exactly.
The Congress is controlled by the president is a Democrat. And people are very upset about what has happened to their family's financial future. So the president and his team definitely have the momentum here, at least from this crisis. But there is, as you know, you have heard it, though, people are in America, we are mistrustful of the government having too much power and influence because we don't always think the government can do it right. And so there's that kind of unease that's seeping into this debate, even among lunch bucket Democrats,
right,
moderate Republicans, people in the middle. They just don't like it that we own so
right.
much Citigroup and AIG and the others.
But Christine, it seems to me that, you know, that's what's happened with this partisan divide in the country, is that even if you're the most vocal anti-Obama person, do you really think he wanted to run banks and car companies and that was really like his plot since kindergarten?
He inherited
this economy. It's not like he wanted to do this. I think that, as I've said, generally, I think he's taken the actions that he had to take.
I think he's held his nose all along the way and had to do some things he didn't want to do. You know, just as Henry Paulson last fall said, you know, I'm doing things and saying things that I never thought, every fiber of my being said I would never have to do, but I'm doing these things because this is just such a catastrophe, and the president doing the same thing too. I think he has said many times he didn't run for president to be the CEO of a car company, and, you know, and unfortunately, he became one.
Christine, may I just say that you were gloomy, but not as bad as that Ali Belshi, the prophet of doom, who we also had on.
I
would take Loom over Doom any day.
I try to take some Midwest charm to his to Canadian gloominess, but you can watch us tomorrow. We'll see if we're hang or not.
Saturdays 1 p.m. in the East, Sundays 3 p.m. in the East. That's Your Money, hosted by the delightful Christine Romans. Please come back.
I will. Thank you.
All right. There she goes. She was delightful.
She was. I like her a lot.
And fairly zippy for the economy still going to hell in a handbasket. All right.
Although that means she still has a job now.
Yes.
So that's something to report then.
I look forward to the day when the show's name becomes Your Scent. Just a teeny little scent. 44 minutes after the hour, more hilarious comedy, the rest of the oily tapes, a court document that was similarly dismissed a couple of days ago as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Waka, 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 waka. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. More Orly Tate's fun facts from her court filing.
Oh,
I know.
Boy.
I got this from 1,000 people, but it is hilarious. A Bush appointee, a judge, gave her a little bit of a, took her a little bit to the legal woodshed.
Yes.
Apparently there was some, things that were somewhat unusual for a legal filing. For instance, citing an AOL poll, I think I mentioned earlier.
An online poll.
As to why the
but there's
president...
proof. Let me finish. Don't let me finish. It's AOL.
She actually wrote in a legal document, AOL poll says 85% of Americans believe Obama was not vetted properly. As in addition to sort of what was the kind of the hearsay that people around the world think maybe he's not. Or
whatever.
I met a guy at a place sometime who said he's not American, so he's proof, no?
This is from the judge's
he's proof.
Response. I wonder if she actually wrote da.
Da,
da. He's proof. Plaintiff unashamedly alleges that defendant, that would be the president,
yes,
has the burden to prove his natural born status.
And he has.
This could be a whole, open up a whole new front in lawsuits.
Oh, my God.
Jim Ward, prove you're not beating Sassy the Cat. Prove it!
I would have scars all down my arm.
Yeah.
Sassy would kick your
ass. Yeah, you can't beat a cat. Cat fights back.
Plaintiff's counsel seeks to use the power of the judiciary to compel a citizen, albeit the President of the United States, to, quote, prove his innocence to charges, quote, unquote, that are based upon conjecture and speculation. Any middle school civic student, this is what the judge wrote,
yeah,
would readily recognize the irony of abandoning fundamental principles upon which our country was founded in order to purportedly protect and preserve those very principles. Plaintiff's complaint is not plausible on its face to the extent that it alleges any quote-unquote facts. The judge actually put quotation marks around charges.
Finger quotes.
And facts. The complaint does not connect those facts to any actual violation of plaintiff's individual constitutional rights. Unlike Alice in Wonderland, simply saying something is so does not make it so. By the way, did you hear Tate's response to all this?
What?
She told a local TV station...
Let me finish!
Well, she said, let me finish.
Okay.
Da.
Da.
That Land, the judge, mm-hmm, the Bush appointee, quote, should be tried for treason with Obama.
Oh.
Which may cause him to look even less kindly on her next filing.
Treason. It's treason. Do you disagree with me? It's treason.
Does she know what treason is?
No.
How did she get a law degree?
Funny, yes. However, this rally in which actual Republican representatives, congressmen, and people spoke at in D.C.
Yeah.
Had a lot of the where's the birth certificate signs.
Yeah.
It's these people. We have actual congressmen that were going to put things forward, having the president have to produce his birth certificate. And it's the same. They have become the lunatic fringe. Kim in St. Paul on Oily Taint. Hello, Kim.
Hi. As the official immigration lawyer of the Stephanie Miller Show, I have a couple thoughts on Oily Taint.
Yes.
And one is that the other part of the judge's decision that's so awesome. some Stephanie is that the judge also threatened her with Rule 11 sanctions for frivolous behavior, and that you have to be such a colossal screw-up to get Rule 11 sanctions. I can't even begin to tell you. It's delicious.
Yeah, it is. I have never read a more entertaining court document. Have you, Kim? They're normally a little dry, right?
Yes. Judges generally are known for being exercising restraint. So, yeah, the judge definitely displeased with Ms. Taint.
Yeah, it was almost, it was close in legalese to "you moron. Do never, not ever darken the doorway of my courtroom again."
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
Leave. I never darken my towels again.
Exactly. All right. I
had the bus leaving down in half an hour. I want you to be under it.
I had to have the fruity sorbet that is the Orly Tate's filing. Ugh. To cleanse my palate before I get to the watered down gruel that is the Max Baucus.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Which is the sound you make when you read it.
I'm just an ordinary gal, as you know. Who are we negotiating with? What? I don't understand. We're not getting
any Olympia Snow
Republican support on this. So why are we watering this down?
Because Max Baucus got $3 million from the insurance company.
Huh. I'm sure that's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. That's why. And that angers me to no end.
This headline may not surprise you. New health proposal is insurance industry's favorite so far.
Yeah, of course it is, because it drives so many people to be new customers of the insurance companies.
Here's a little tip for all y'all. That's not a good thing.
No.
If the private insurance companies are having a party, that's not good for the rest of us. The latest health overall circulating in Capitol Hill gives health insurers, drug makers, and large employers reasons to have sighs of relief, sparing them the higher costs and more burdensome rules included in Democratic written alternatives. Industry players that have already struck bargains with President Obama's administration and leading Democrats to help pay for revamping the health system saw most of those deals left intact and in some cases sweetened. They got even more than they were hoping for. In the new $856 billion proposal unveiled by Max Baucus, you won't hear many of them cheering publicly about what they would get out of the measure, because that would be bad form.
Right.
Yeah, that'd probably be an end zone dance. Woo! Yeah! Little touchdown dance, that'd probably be in bad form. Because many are still hoping for a better deal before Congress takes final action on revamping the healthcare system. And we'd like a pony, too. Oh, they're hoping to get a whole pinata full of goodies.
Mm.
It would score a new taxpayer-subsidized customer base of millions who don't currently have insurance thanks to a mandate that everyone purchase coverage, backed up by steep penalties on people who don't, and it wouldn't have to compete with the government to cover people, unlike in the four other health care overhaul plans approved by Democratic-nominated congressional committees. Nor would nonprofit co-ops, have we been saying this or what?
Oh, boy.
Designed to provide consumers with an alternative for private health insurance, pose any real threat to their business, according to a nonpartisan analysis released Wednesday. The Congressional Budget Office says those plans, quote, seem unlikely to establish a significant market presence in many of the areas in the country or to noticeably affect federal subsidy payments. Good job, Max Baucus. That's watered-down gruel the insurance companies love. That's exactly what we've been saying. Mm-hmm. These, you know, and Senator Rockefeller and others, that these co-ops, they're nothing.
Right. They have no power.
You have no power, yeah.
And they're going to take forever to set up.
Yeah. Health insurance stocks jumped Wednesday on the news of Baucus' public option-free measure.
What does that tell you?
Hmm. What does that mean? Let's take a moment and ponder. Hmm. What do people not get about this? The only people happy are the private health insurance companies, who are already screwing us.
Mm-hmm.
Privately, industry lobbyists acknowledge the plan is far more to their liking than any of the other measures currently under discussion and express confidence that it would improve further as senators and Obama's team continue to haggle over its details as it approaches a Senate vote. All right. We will be back with more on thoughts from both sides of the aisle on this and ours. And also Representative Tim Bishops, a Democrat of New York, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There are still those in Washington who are resistant to change, who are more willing to defend the status quo than address the real concerns of the American people.
Who could he be talking about? 6 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. We're joined by Representative Tim Bishop of the great state of New York. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
My pleasure.
I've got to, first of all, I want to talk about health care first, because it seems to me there's a theme running through our Republican opposition these days. The Max Baucus bill, let's get your take on that right off the top, because obviously people on both sides not really happy about this.
Well, I'm still looking at it, and I think, one, we should be pleased that the Finance Committee has produced a document, so we now at least all have a baseline to work from in that regard. But, you know, I mean, from what I've seen, there are
pieces of it. Yes, we have an actual document to beat each other over the head with now.
Indeed.
All right.
As I say, I'm still studying it, but, you know, I'm disappointed that it does not include a public option. I just happen to believe that a public option is the most effective way of providing a counterweight to the private insurance industry and hopefully result in some moderation of rates and also some moderation of practices that are not helpful to their policyholders. I'm still looking at the pay-fors, the way in which the bill is paid for. I also worry about having an individual mandate but not having an employer mandate, and I'm particularly worried about an individual mandate when we are not providing a public option, which would presumably have the impact of having a moderating influence on price.
Congressman, I got to say I agree with everything you just said, and that concerns me too. If this ends up being, as many people think, just a big giveaway to the private insurance companies, and you're right, people that can't afford it are forced to get insurance. I mean, this is, could do more harm than good. Do you agree?
Well,
I know I've heard the argument from some people. I'm sure you have, Representative, that half a loaf is better than none, that we had to do this with civil rights and Social Security and Medicare, and that, you know, it's a start. But I don't know with some of the stuff. I mean, it depends on the combination, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. It depends on the combination. I mean, I am not one that, you know, has drawn a line in the sand, for example, and said that if the bill doesn't have a public option, I won't vote for it. But what I do believe, I think there's broad recognition that the status quo is on. Acceptable, and I think we have to arrive at some legislation that improves on that status quo. And the question will be what the composition of that legislation will be, and whether or not there's enough in it to generate support. And you know, we're just not there yet. We don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I we have a feature called Right Wing World coming up, and this may even startle you, but Bill O'Reilly appears to support a public option.
I am startled.
Was I. I mean, that's the thing is, when you tell Americans in polling, when you describe it exactly, huge majorities are for this, and that's the way I look at it, Congressman. I'm like, how could you be against this?
Well, I think the reason people are against it is that it has been described in a way that is, you know, thoroughly inaccurate. And we're not talking about a government takeover of health care.
Yeah. It's an option that maybe 5% of the public would be able to take advantage of, but would keep the insurance companies competitive. Correct?
And what we're doing is we're talking about a government, an option for a government-provided health insurance, which is different from health care. And, what I find, just sort of difficult to understand from a logical point of view is, you know, we already have over 100 million Americans who have their health care needs covered by the federal government. I mean, we have 45 million Americans who get Medicare. We have 49 million Americans who get Medicaid. And we have over 7 million Americans who get their health care through the Veterans Administration. Now, presumably that does not constitute a government takeover of health care, but a public insurance option that might enroll 10 million people does constitute in people's minds. Mm-hmm. And I just don't understand that logic.
Well, Congressman, let's talk about something else, because I'm not a football expert, but it seems to me the Republicans keep running the same play over and over again. Tell us about this Student Aid and Fiscal Responsibility Act of 2009, because once again they're going, it's a government takeover. Who is this? One Republican said it's a government, another government takeover, in this case of a $100 billion loan industry. It's Congress stepping in and choosing the public option instead of the private option, the private-public partnership, which to me, tell us what this is.
Well, frankly, what the government is doing is stepping in to both save money will be used to help needy students meet their bills, but it's also stepping in to save a program that's on life support systems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the so-called FFEL program, Federal Family Education Loan Program, which is, if you will, the private option, right now only exists because it is being propped up by the federal government.
Right, and once again, we're trying to find health insurance that works for people and not health insurance companies. The White House says, the government can save $80 billion by ending the subsidy system, so they could that they contend benefits banks rather than students. And it seems like, the CBO has backed them up. They said the proposal spending would be offset by savings from the lending overhaul.
Yes, and here's how the program currently works. The federal government pretty much provides the capital. The private lenders loan it. We pay the private lenders a subsidy to participate in the program. We guarantee 97% of the risk. In other words, if the loan isn't paid back, we are on the hook for 97% of the loan, and the lenders walk away with the profits. Now, this is a really, really good deal for the lenders, and the profits that they're receiving, we're simply saying, we're going to run the program ourselves, something, by the way, that the federal government has been doing as an option since 1993 and running it very, very well. I worked at a school that was a so-called direct lending school, and it worked very, very well. And we're going to take what would be profits for the lending institutions and hand them, give them mm-hmm. to needy students in the form of increased Pell Grants or increased access to Perkins Loan or better classrooms to study in. And, so this is a way to use taxpayer dollars in a much more sound fashion and also a much more impactful fashion.
Congressman, the president of the American Council on Education said this bill will be the biggest redesign in the structure of federal student aid I've ever seen. Many, many students will benefit from it. It seems like, and again, the health care reform is a big thing. But again, since when do we get afraid of big ideas? That's what built America, and we need big ideas like that. Obviously, the education system and the health care system in our America are things that need help.
Yeah. This is a big idea, but it's an idea that's been around for a long time. I believe, in fact, one of my colleagues, a man named Tom Petri, a Republican from Wisconsin, offered legislation back, I believe, as far back as the late 80s, to move in this direction. So this is an idea that's been around for a while, and I think it's long overdue, and I think our students are going to benefit.
Congressman Bishop, this is going. It seems like this is going to pass. I know the president, considers it key to his education agenda, but it seems like, once again, the Republicans are just going to, they're just saying no to everything, right? It's, and it's the same play. Oh, it's a government takeover, so we're not going to do it.
Well, the alternative that they offered yesterday was basically to maintain the status quo for 5 years.
Same as health care.
And to convene a bipartisan commission to study the issue. But in the course of those 5 years, these subsidies cost us about $8 or $9 billion a year. So that's $40-45 billion over the course of those 5 years
mm-hmm.
that could be much better spent helping needy students with larger Pell Grants.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Congressman, thanks for fighting the good fight for us and taking time for us as always.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. There he goes. Representative Tim Bishop, great state of New York.
Yes.
I just have to hear this again. If you need any more evidence that perhaps we could use a little help with our fancy book learning here in the U.S. of A., here's some of the people interviewed at the 9/12, the teabaggers crazy train.
Yeah. Thing. I'd like to see a Christian in the White House is what I'd like to see.
You don't think Obama's a Christian?
No, I don't. He's a Muslim.
He's already destroyed, most of the country. I mean, come on, that's crazy.
Washington, D.C. is district of corruption. That's why everything is going so bad the way it's going.
Barack Obama
in its content means Antichrist.
His
what?
Mother was white, so he's not an African American, but he's going that way because that pays off for him.
And one reason
he's
I'm
clever.
Here today, because my grandson, and he said, Grandma, what did you do without country misstages? I said, I did this. I stood up. I don't work anymore.
What I'm saying is that Hitler was a good speaker. He turned a lot of people on with his eloquent speeches, and so was our current president.
Well, if fascism is a form of socialism, I would believe.
What?
I mean, they're all intertwined.
No.
Communism, fascism, socialism.
Well, the czar is in the White House.
What is a czar? What are they?
Russian czar. This is America. We don't have czars in America.
Well, the czars, we don't know who they answer to. We don't know how much they're being paid.
Take a picture of my shirt.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
We need to play that again as a public service. That's you see, Jim, it's the isms that are the problem. Any sort of ism, they're all the same.
Isms is all the same. That's why they're isms.
Exactly. Fascism, communism, vegetarianism.
Yeah. And that montage was put together by listener Ken in Cleveland.
Thank you, listener Ken. That was terrifying.
It was terrifying.
Right, thank you for that. Okay. Whew. Let's
drowning in an ocean of dump.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. You know, we watch so you don't have to. Yes.
Step right up, get your Republican talking points, get your peanut-sized brains. Your brain must be this. To go on this ride. Die!
Czars in Russia!
Czars!
We need a Christian president.
Psst. Russia's not Russia anymore. Okay, well, that'd be
Russia.
First.
No, the Russia is Russia anymore. Again. It's
well,
not,
you get my point.
I do get your point.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Wowee. All right. That took my breath away. How about you? Okay. Ed Gillespie in the Situation Room on the health care.
This is, you know, my children's care and my doctor's relationship. Emotions are going to run high. I agree with Donna. Everybody can be civil in the debate. But I think we should avoid, you know, smearing the motives of people who have legitimate concerns over how much money is being cut from Medicare, what the effect is on my care, am I going to be put into a public option?
Mm-hmm. Psst, by the way, he refers to those people we just heard in the montage. Yeah, we need to be respectful of those people and stop smearing them because they have legitimate concerns based on being complete morons. Okay. Here's the breaking news I spoke to the congressman about. Bill O'Reilly? Appears to support a public option?
What?
A big guess.
How can that be?
I think he's angling to interview Obama finally. He just wanted to have him on the show for a long time.
Oh, I'm reading an actual quote from, I don't know if this was last evening, but...
it was Wednesday.
Wednesday evening. I want, not personally for me, but for working Americans to have an option. That if they don't like their health insurance... If it's too expensive, they can't afford it. If the government can cobble together a cheaper insurance policy that gives the same benefits,
what?
I see that as a plus for the folks.
That's a public option.
Did you just describe the public
option? That's a public option.
Yep.
Oh, that's exactly the reasons we say that we...
Yeah. Oh, my God, we're agreeing with Bill O'Reilly.
Oh,
my God. My head hurts.
Okay, does he realize what he said? Okay. A study by the Commonwealth Fund found that a public coverage program similar to Medicare would reduce projected health care costs by $2 trillion over 11 years, reduce premiums by about 20% on average. Within about a decade, 105 million people would be enrolled in the public plan. About 107 worldwide would have 107 million would have private insurance, according to the Commonwealth Fund. I guess Bill O'Reilly agrees with... I'm sure he'll probably do a talking point against himself tonight when he realizes what he said. Okay,
All right.
That kind of moron said that. 20 minutes after the hour. Back with more Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Angie.
Hi.
Hey.
We're big
big fan.
Oh, thank you.
I have four small children, and this is going to probably ring a bell when I explain to you that something happens, in particular with the youngest ones, when they don't get their way the first time. If they don't get the last chicken nugget on the plate, or if they don't get the toy that they really, really want, they whine and they cry and they will not compromise.
But
they
enough about John Boehner. Oh, you see,
exactly.
Because...
Exactly.
It really is. Like, Joe Wilson, couldn't your five-year-old have gone, oh, he's going to get a timeout? Oh, no, he didn't.
And then they would have sang the Lying Sack of Crap song.
There you go. Thank you, honey. Yeah, John Boehner throws a tantrum a week.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. Mm-hmm. That's at the top of our list.
Yes, just senseless whining, the throwing of things.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope, we don't have time to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Bob in Chicago on our friend Bill O'Reilly. Hello, Bob.
Hey, I want to say that, you know, it's not the fact that you're agreeing with Bill O'Reilly. It's Bill O'Reilly agreeing with us.
Well, I don't even know if he did it inadvertently. I'm just reading an actual transcript where he obviously completely describes the public option and says, yeah, that's a good idea for the folks.
Maybe it's just exposing, like, their true feelings.
I know. I don't know if it was, like, a subliminal thing. I have no idea what happened there. John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Real quick, did anyone, is it me or did anyone else notice that all the cuts that you guys played were, like, from people from the South?
Oh, in the crazy train from the 912 people?
Yeah.
No, well,
yeah, but did you see Rachel's show last night where she had all these health statistics and most of the worst statistics in the country come from the South, like the highest teen pregnancy rates?
Mississippi and Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, it, not to mention South Carolina.
It may be time to reconsultate that website, thesouth.com. No offense to anybody listening.
We love our listeners in the South.
It was funny, though, that website. And that back during the George Bush days.
I'm from
Look, I don't, you know, somebody gathered those sound bites. I wasn't
Listener Ken in Cleveland did.
Yes, I wasn't even really aware of that. I was just thinking it was a whole pile of stupid. I didn't even, because there's pockets of stupid everywhere, frankly.
Absolutely. Even here in Los Angeles.
Oh, boy, howdy. We got our own special brand of stupid.
Yeah.
It's the person that, you know, that cuts across five lanes right in front of you to get off the freeway exit. It's that person.
Texting and
Yeah, you. Try to get to your audition. You want to be actor. No, oh, there's my exit. Okay.
It's either want to be actors or tourists.
All right. As we just insult everybody in the country. Good. Fred Barnes on the Britt Baer show on the president's foreign policy.
One word for the Obama foreign policy, and it is retreat.
Oh,
retreat
please.
From America's obligation to support its allies, to guarantee international security. Retreat everywhere. This is just another retreat. And it's reminiscent of that famous meeting in 1961 of John F. Kennedy, a rookie president like Barack Obama, then with Nikita Khrushchev. And what did Khrushchev conclude from that meeting? That it was a weak president. And what happened? You had the Cuban Missile Crisis. You had the Berlin Wall built in Berlin, obviously.
Obama's fault.
Worse could happen here.
Jim, didn't the Cuban Missile Crisis end?
Successfully, because Kennedy was in office. Had Nixon been there, we'd all be dead.
Yes.
He would have listened to Curtis LeMay, and we would have started World War III.
28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're easy.
Hell yeah.
Happy Friday, 33 minutes after the hour.
Sounded suspiciously like Rebecca, that voice.
Chris, ask me how my Rosh Hashanah is going so far.
So far, so good?
Yeah.
That's what I said.
So far,
that's
so
my
good.
Joke.
Because the Jewish people.
I've been doing that for 30 years.
Blow the shofar.
This is a Rams porn thing. So far, so good.
Yay!
Because you see it.
Mike in Chicago, here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, kid. I'm really confused. Maybe you can help me. Okay, is Obama a Muslim at his mosque, or is he palling around with Reverend Wright at his Catholic church? Which is it? I have no idea. Is he a Muslim or a Catholic?
It's some sort of ism, and that's the important thing, as some of the douchetastic folks at the 9/12 march had to say.
These ism.
She's got too many isms in them. Pat in South Carolina. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Steffi.
Hello.
I just wanted to be nominated the official Democratic activist in South Carolina.
Thank you. Whew, there's got to be somebody sane in South Carolina.
Absolutely.
And we found them.
Yes.
Go ahead.
We're working hard at it down here. We're trying to get a Democratic governor in, a Democratic senator, a Democratic everything.
Good. Good. All right.
What are your
you
chances?
You want a governor that will accept the stimulus package instead of taxpayer money to stimulate his own package, is what I'm
saying. Yeah.
Exactly.
What are your chances of getting, you know, all of these Democrats in office down there?
Gosh, you know, it's looking pretty good.
Okay.
Really?
Despite all the news out there, you know, there's a lot of us that are pretty disgusted right now with the reputation we're getting.
Yeah, I'll say. Anyway, go ahead. So you're trying to get to, are you trying to work for, what's his name, the Joe Wilson opponent?
Miller.
Miller, yeah. Well, Miller and Dwight Blake and a couple other good guys out there. We've got a really nice choice, you know.
Great. And Miller is flush with cash now.
Yes, he is. He's doing very well.
If people, you know, by the way, if people there are fans of mine, tell them he's my brother, and if they're not, tell them there's no relation.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. As we slog through our right-wing world today, Fred Barnes on the Brit Bear Show. He may be getting ahead of himself at this point.
You know, this was probably the least successful introduction of a new product, maybe since the Edsel, maybe since New Coke. I mean, look, the Democrats, all the liberal Democrats are against it. Republicans don't like it. Who likes it? Nobody does. And besides, it's a terrible bill. It would overregulate the insurance industry and reduce that industry probably to about four or five big companies. It's going to cut $400 billion out of Medicare. Not a chance that that's going to happen. And like in these other health care bills, you know, it way underestimates what they're going to cost.
Okay. Here's the bad thing. For once, I agree with someone in right-wing world that the Max Baugh control is a piece of... don't you worry there, Freddie. We're going to fix it and pass health care reform, so you just wait there.
It's the only bill out of the five that are coming out of Congress that doesn't have a public option. Huh. So the odds are...
Yeah.
That who's the odd man out?
Yeah. The odds are that the bill that goes to the president will have a public option of some sort.
We're not trying to name names, but who's the odd man out? Who's the odd man out? Max! Okay. Mike Gallagher on the O'Reilly Show on the healthcare.
You know, when Nancy Pelosi in the soundbite you played a moment ago complains about the rhetoric that my side is using, you know, just down the street from where I'm sitting right now here in Dallas, Cindy Sheehan and her band of crazies are still outside George Bush's house calling him a war criminal and saying despicable things about him. I didn't hear a condemning rhetoric then. So you know what? We're playing tough, but we better be fair and we better make sure that the issues are legitimate. As Tammy said, every day something absurd comes from this White House.
Okay,
I have the soundbite that he was complaining about. It's Nancy Pelosi cautioning against, you know...
The angry rhetoric?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I have concerns about some of the language that is being used because I saw this myself in the late 70s in San Francisco. This kind of rhetoric was very frightening, and it created a climate in which violence took place.
She's talking about Harvey Milk and George Moscone.
Yeah.
No one at Code Pink has ever shot anyone or threatened to shoot anyone.
Right.
It's you right-wing loons that do that sort of thing.
And I'm just saying, there are those of us that believe George Bush may be a
war criminal. Yeah. The Hague would like to talk to Bush and Cheney about a thing or two.
Just saying, should the Hague someday agree with Cindy Sheehan, I'm sure that Mike Gallagher will issue an apology.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but she was saying that she lived through that the anti-gay rhetoric at that point was, you know, at the same level. She says those spouting hateful rhetoric must take responsibility for any incitement they might cause. Who could she be talking about?
I read on your blog.
Yeah.
Get off my phone!
Who's she talking about? Mark Williams, he's delightful. He's one of the organizers of that there 9/12 crazy train thing.
Yeah.
By the way, Boy, that's interesting. I thought CNN had banned radio talk show hosts. So he was a guest on Anderson Cooper 360, was he?
Yes, he was.
So they're still having the fanatical right-wing radio hosts on the CNN, are they?
Absolutely.
Huh, interesting.
I read on your blog, you say, you call the president an Indonesian Muslim turned welfare thug and a racist in chief. I mean, is that the kind of...
That's the way he's behaving.
But
if he cares to be...
Do you believe he's Indonesian? Do you believe he's Muslim? Do you really believe he's a welfare thug?
He's certainly acting like it.
You think he's a racist in chief?
I mean, this president...
Racist in chief? Is that what you call it?
Until he embraces the whole country. What else can I conclude?
Embraces the whole... What the hell are you talking about?
So let me get this straight.
No wonder he lost his radio show.
So the Lou Dobbs is a... Still, Mark Williams lost his radio show?
Uh-huh.
So that's qualifies him to be on the CNN. Right. Oh, I see. So that's okay.
He's not currently
because that
radio
lends credibility
host.
To the subject.
Right.
I see. So he and Lou Dobbs are still on the CNN, but they can't have anyone to counter that. I'm not saying anybody in particular.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. Jim, don't make this about me.
Maybe you need to give up your radio show. Make that sacrifice, Stephanie.
I didn't need to buy so much box wine.
Yeah.
All right.
And kibble.
That concludes another. Highly distasteful right-wing world.
Mm-hmm. Seems like CNN's becoming almost as fair and balanced as Fox News.
Huh, interesting. Yeah. Mary Beth in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our right-wing friends. Hello, Mary Beth.
Hello, Steph Mooks. I have good news. My mom turned 81 last Friday. I treated her to lunch at her favorite restaurant that rhymes with Schmapplebee's. and as we were sitting down...
The old folks love the Schmapplebee's.
But as we were sitting down, she was starting to say, well, let me also say that she voted for McCain. I voted for Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. We kind of had some heated discussions during the campaign. So as we sit down, she said, you know, Mary Beth, I think I'm going to cancel my membership. And I thought she was going to say an AARP because they support the president's health care bill.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm going to cancel my membership in the Republican Party. I'm going to switch my affiliation from Republican to Independent because I just saw Lincoln Chafee from Rhode Island on the television the other night. And this is two days after Addison Wilson. I can't even call him Joe Wilson. His outburst. And she said, the whole party has just been hijacked.
Wow. Let's hear a big...
Yep.
For your mom, did you spew liquid all over the salad bar at Schmapplebee's?
No, but I treated her to another molten lava fudge cake.
Wow. If only I could bring my 86-year-old Republican mom around.
Well, I can have my mom call your mom.
Yes. Oh, that would be great.
They could meet at Schmapplebee's.
Because you know what my mom says to me? She's like, oh, Steffi, I don't care if who you support, but why do you have to be so public about it? Well, I think she's not aware of what I do for a living, Mary Beth, so make sure your mom doesn't mention it to her.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Does your mom like the Schmapplebee's?
I don't know that there is a Schmapplebee's in the Charlotte area.
Yes, there are. There are plenty of them. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to say she does, though.
Okay.
It might be a little too much of the hoi polloi there for her taste.
Well, your mom is a bit... It's not like the Buffalo Country Club.
What are you
Club.
Saying about my mother?
It's not like the Buffalo Country Club.
No, that's true.
Okay.
Well, Hoppy Delaplante would never approve of
it. Yes.
My mom's best friend from the Buffalo Country Club, Hoppy Delaplante, who is, if you are an aficionado of Stephanie Miller lore, a man.
Yes.
Hoppy's a man. Okay.
A man named Hoppy.
Rich people always named after rabbits. Don't know why.
Yeah.
Muffy, Hoppy, Buffy. 42 minutes. 42 minutes after the hour. All right. We're really going to get into it. We're gonna do the backstroke and the Max Baucus healthcare drool, whatever it is. It's some sort of healthcare-like substance. 52 minutes after the hour, these... Oh, did I say 52? 42 on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Agreement in Congress on about 80% of what needs to be done. Four out of five committees in Congress have completed their work. Yesterday, the Finance Committee under the leadership of Max Baucus put out its own bill. Each bill has its strengths And there are a lot of similarities between them.
I can't read the Baucus Bill. There's pieces of corn in there. I don't...
Stephanie Louise Miller.
When did I have corn? 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris in Rochester on our friends at CNN. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Steph and the Mooks. Hello. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Last night, Wolf Blitzer was on Jeopardy.
Oh, God.
It was hysterical. He lost so bad. Most of the answers he gave were wrong. And at the end, when they were coming to the big Jeopardy round, he had minus $4,000. So we thought he wasn't going to be able to compete in the end, except for the fact that since it was Celebrity Jeopardy, they decided to let him play. So they gave him $1,000, which we figured was welfare money. And then he proceeded to bet it all in one place and lose it.
Wow.
What is hard cheese and drywall?
No, sorry.
No.
Sorry.
You did phrase it in the form of a question, but no.
When did Wolf Blitzer have his last bowel movement?
Yes. It was
during the Johnson administration. The Andrew Johnson administration.
That's correct.
No, sorry.
The joke is
You're
he sounds constipated.
About to be blown up.
Exactly. All right.
Alex Trebek mentioned my name at the Emmys.
He enjoyed.
Jim
Ward
out.
Won an Emmy, for those of you that had been living in a
couple
cave.
Weeks ago. As I referenced him, because he was hosting the whole thing, in my acceptance speech, I went up as Connery because of the Saturday Night Live sketches.
Considering who the host is tonight, I should be phrasing this in the form of a question. Who the hell is Jim Ward and why should I care?
But apparently he appreciated that and mentioned me later on. I didn't hear the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
But, yeah.
It's man love. Jim's having a bromance with Alex Trebek, and that
no,
is so...
No, sorry.
Sorry.
No.
Okay, says no.
Go back and sit down on the Chesterfield.
All right, so the only people that like the Max Baucus Bill, apparently the insurance company's having a little partay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Over that. Stocks,
that should
insurance
tell you
company
something.
Stocks jumped. Many progressives called the measure an industry giveaway, the private health insurance industry. Like a dream come true for insurers. Labor leaders said, I was just speaking to the Laborers International Union of North America in Orlando yesterday. Woohoo! Yeah, they had some. They had some rather candid thoughts on the Max Baucus Bill.
I'm sure they did.
Labor leader said Baucus had compromised too much and produced a bill that would force people to buy health and insure coverage they couldn't afford. Yeah, we were saying this is what these guys do. They sit at the negotiating table with their employers. That's what unions do. And they're saying who negotiates like this? As we said, Harry Reid's from Nevada, for God's sakes. He ought to know gambling.
Yes.
You don't go into the negotiating table. Well, I would like a public plan, but I'll take the co-ops if that's. No! You don't negotiate like that!
Whatever you guys think is right, that'd be fine.
And as I said earlier, who the hell are we negotiating with?
Right.
We're not getting... This is watered-down bill.
Yes.
Every, independent analyst said this is a very centrist bill. It's a very bipartisan bill. No Republicans are supporting even that. Boner called the bill partisan. What? A labor leader said, we think the plan, the way it is structured, incentivizes employers to offer bare-bones plans. As for the co-ops, they were designed to fail. It's a great boondoggle for the insurance companies. We don't think it's going to increase competition or bring down costs. No. Thank you. A pharma spokesman said the industry would, quote, continue to be a constructive partner in the effort to enact health care reforms. I'm sure you will. I'm sure you'll offer.
There is absolutely no way they can be a constructive partner in anything regarding this.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They're only out for their profits.
As the Fox said, he will continue to offer constructive help in guarding the hen house. Uh-huh. Okay, good. I feel better. Let's go to Aaron in California on Wolf Blitzer as well. Hello, Aaron.
Hi there. Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks. I was listening to the caller talking about how Wolf Blitzer got clobbered on Jeopardy, but it was even funnier who he got clobbered by.
Who's that?
It was Andy Richter.
Oh, duh.
That's great.
Oh, dear.
That is very sad for the state of American journalism.
Carrot Top.
Yes.
Helen in Tacoma on the president. Hey, Helen.
Hi there. I was at a farmer's market the other day, and there were some people who practiced LaRoucheism, and they had a table there, and there was a picture of Obama with a Hitler mustache.
Mm.
And so I immediately said, what the F? And a woman said, oh, my God, there's children here looking at me. And I said, exactly, there's children here. They shouldn't be looking at that picture.
Yeah, it's okay to call the president Hitler,
well,
but you shouldn't say
word.
The F word. Yeah,
exactly.
Somebody, priorities, anybody?
Somebody yeah. thinking of the children at the farmer's market, which is nice.
Somebody please think of the children.
Yeah, it's okay to yell you lie at the president and
right.
call him Hitler, but when you drop an F-bomb.
But it's not only offensive, it's incoherent. I mean, have they heard of Jesse Owens?
Yes.
I mean, Hitler refused to shake his hand at the 36 Olympics
yes.
because he was black.
We will play the 9/12 crazy
black train liberal Nazi
montage again later
uh-huh.
in which somebody there explained that is all the isms are the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Senator Jeff Bingaman, Democrat of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have favored having a public option available and voted for one in the Health and Education Help Committee bill. So I hope we can do that.
Yeah. A new study shows 73% of doctors support a public option, yeah. FYI GTK. New study published in the New England Journal of Medicine states 63% of doctors polled support a health care reform bill that includes both a public and a private option. An additional 10% support a system that includes a public option. So that's carry the 40 divided by that's 73%, Jim.
Yeah,
heard.
Also, new numbers from an ABC Washington Post poll shows 55% of Americans want a public option. The number rises to 76% when respondents are asked if they would be okay with the public option being available to only those who are currently unable to receive health insurance. Which, once again, FYI, GTK, that's what a public option is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the thing, it seems like it depends on the wording, but when you most accurately describe what the public option is, that's what where the numbers are, 70-something, 80%.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
By the way, factcheck.org, a nonpartisan site, that would be the clue, nonpartisan site. That fact checks all politicians on either side of the aisle's assertions, went through President Obama's whole speech in front of both houses of Congress, and found Obama pretty truthful. There's only so many ways that you can go, oh, well, this, there might be this thing that's
right.
not exact. But there were no untruths in the president's speech. They fact checked the entire thing and found him to be.
So he didn't lie?
No.
No. So Joe Wilson.
And you can
lying.
Say it louder, but no, he still didn't lie. Jane in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to let you know how happy I am to have found Air America this past fall. It's just a wonderful place to.
Well, I'm not Air America, but that's okay.
Oh, you're not.
I'm Dial Global.
I thought my whole station with all of you guys, Bill Press, from you on to Ron Reagan.
No, that's all right. No, that's all right. We're all friends. We're all in this together. Go ahead.
Yes, we are. Everybody. It seems like. The other side, the right-wingers and Republicans, try to make this so complicated and so detailed. Bottom line, it is not a complicated issue as far as health care. When you make it a for-profit business, that's where things get complicated.
Thank you.
In the free market.
Jane, this is what you know, the president was saying that Sean Hannity completely misrepresented when he said insurance company people are not bad people. They're in this to make a profit. And that's exactly it, Jane. I'm not saying that either. I don't personally know private, you know, health insurance company people, but that's the point. It's the whole point of the healthcare industry being for profit, right?
Exactly, exactly. But in my regards, though, too, it's like I think when they talk about the capitalistic system, how we should let the free market work its way out. The problem is there's human beings running this capital market, and you're going to get greedy people in there.
Yeah.
And that's going to throw everything out of
mm-hmm.
whack.
Mm-hmm.
And this bipartisan thing. Everybody has said it. I wish it would just come across. It's never going to work. And there was a clip on our news station of Obama's physician here. He was his physician for the last 20 years here in the Chicago area. And he expressed it, flat out, and said they will never agree with anything with the president because they hate the air that he breathes. They hate the ground that they walk on.
But, so Jane, Jim Ward says it all the time. That is the problem. Insurance, it's the way it's set up. Insurance companies make money by denying you coverage. That is not a system that works. Works for anybody. That's what we have to reform.
Except the insurance industry.
Yes. Exactly. It works very well for them.
Their stock goes up when they deny more people coverage.
All right. We have actual audio of Bill O'Reilly supporting the public option.
Yes.
He can't deny it now.
That, tinsel talk, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Lots of great new pictures up there from Mama's vacation. I want to thank the Laborers International Union of North America. Mama was in Orlando yesterday speaking to them. Thank you to John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire, who filled in for me. And little baby DJ Chris, who got us in and out of breaks.
I did. Didn't I? Didn't I, Jim?
Yep.
Baby's got a radio show. It's baby's first radio show.
No, it's not my first radio show. I've been in radio since 92. Thank you very much.
Representative Nancy Pelosi.
I fully support a public option. A public option will be in the bill that passes the House of Representatives.
Thank you. Hey, guess what?
What?
Jeff on my right-wing love muffin in Detroit says I lie.
You lie! You lie!
Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. I just don't... everyone I've heard said they wanted a public option. There's nothing against a public option. It's just a single-payer system that Barack Obama proposed during his campaign for presidency. That's the problem.
But that's not what we're getting.
He didn't propose the single-payer.
He said he would prefer it, but he said it's not going to happen.
Yes. He said if we were starting from scratch, he would prefer that, but that's not what's going to happen.
And that would be the best option for everybody, actually.
A single-payer wouldn't be the best option because the prices would be drove up.
They would be drove up? Mm.
Yes.
How?
The charges.
That would actually, they would be drove down.
Yeah.
It's called a monopoly. When do prices go down when there's a monopoly?
It would be not for profit.
Yes,
that's the point.
Everyone profits off of something.
Non-profits don't.
But do you think it's right to profit off people's pain and suffering?
No, I understand that point. There's just a lot of things like $900 billion. Where is that going to come from?
Getting out of Iraq for one thing.
Well, you pay insurance premiums now. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So the money you're paying to the insurance premiums now is going to be the same money that you're going to pay into this system.
Assuming we have.
And get more out of it. I think the savings, certainly according to many experts, is going to make it, as the president says, deficit neutral. So you're saying we can afford an unnecessary war, but we can't afford health reform.
No, I'm not saying we can't afford an unnecessary war, which everyone wants to pull out of that. We're staying in a little longer than actually McCain said he wanted to stay in. But
well, we would have had more than enough money for health care if we hadn't gotten into Iraq, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but the question is about health care.
Right, but this is going to be deficit neutral, so we're not even talking about money. We're talking about an entire system that needs reform, right?
Yeah, but we can't pay for it if we're still in Iraq, can we?
Yeah.
Well, that's my point.
Okay, if it's deficit neutral, then we're not... Okay, all right. All right, Jeff. I love you. I do. Okay.
But apparently prices would be drove up.
They would be drove up. Come on, he's not as bad as one of the 9-12 teabaggers.
No, but
I'm just saying.
I think he wanted to be held to your bosom.
Or not. Listener Ken in Cleveland.
I'd like to see a Christian in the White House is what I'd like to see.
You don't think Obama's a Christian?
No, I don't. He's a Muslim.
He's already destroyed, most of the country. I mean, come on, that's crazy.
Washington, D.C. is district of corruption. That's why everything is going so bad the way it's going.
Barack Obama, in its content, means Antichrist.
His mother was white, so he's not an African-American, but he's going that way because that pays off for him.
And one reason I'm here today is because of my grandson. And if he said, Grandma, what did you do when our country is changing? I said, I did this. I stood up. I don't work anymore.
What I'm saying is that Hitler was a good speaker. He turned a lot of people on with his eloquent speeches, and so is our current president.
Well, if fascism is a form of socialism, I would believe. I mean, they're all intertwined. Communism, fascism, socialism.
Czars in the White House.
What is a czar? What are they?
Russian czar. This is America. We don't have czars in America.
Well, the czars, we don't know who they answer to. We don't know how much they're being paid.
Take a picture of my shirt.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland, for that.
There were a lot of czars in the Reagan administration and the Bush.
There were 47 in the Bush administration. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My particular favorite character in there was the the God Warrior for her grandson.
I'm a God Warrior.
Oh dear,
I think she's been watching the Glenn Beck.
She seemed a little
weepy,
a little overwrought.
That's gosh.
Not since Orly Tate's latest lawsuit was thrown out of court have I seen such an hysterical woman on the TV. And you didn't even let her finish there.
No.
Let me finish.
Oh, my grandson!
Let me finish.
I'm letting you finish. Go ahead. Say whatever you...
Let me finish!
How much you want to bet that... That kid's friends goes, your grandma's a nut. No offense or anything. She makes good cookies, but woo! Okay, let's check some quick entertainment news, shall we?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Paul McCartney topped a poll of Americans' favorite Beatles, but nearly a quarter of those surveyed said they didn't like the British rock group. What?
Wow.
And how about this? I bet you these people were at this rally. 3% question said they didn't know the music well enough to make a decision.
Oh. And what planet have you been living on?
Yeah.
Wow. Nearly 30% of Americans questioned in the poll selected McCartney, compared to 16% who chose John Lennon, 10% George Harrison, and 9% Ringo Starr. I don't
know. Whatever.
Who in their right mind would choose Ringo?
Huh? Who are those people?
I think Pete Best. Probably not.
It's the people at the 9/12 rally.
Yeah, that's it.
Americans over 30 and those over 65 love Paul, said John Zogby, who did the poll. Who do we have, Paul?
It's a report from the BBC.
Oh, of course it is.
This is BBC One. Welcome back. In entertainment news, a new poll in the United States has shown that 30% of Americans selected Paul McCartney as their favorite Beatle. Nearly twice as many as John Lennon. George Harrison and Ringo are nearly tied at 10 and 9% respectively. 22% of Americans claimed not to like the Beatles at all. A smaller number had never even heard of the Beatles. But nonetheless, didn't let their total stupefying ignorance interfere with their having an opinion about them. To wit, the Beatles are, quote, a bunch of Nazi, communist, French, fascist, socialist, Muslim atheists forcing us to have gay abortions and space alien colonoscopies whilst refusing to show us their birth certificates as they were actually born in Indo-Kenyanesia as part of a stem cell late-term human-animal hybrid experiment conspiracy to take our guns away, you betcha, also too, end quote. They went on to say, while inadvertently stabbing themselves in the eye with a plastic spork. Thank God we let those lunatics go when we had the chance. We'll be right back. Suddenly I feel the need for vomit.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends and...
Flavins.
Mm-hmm. God, I wonder if that is an age thing. It's like that old Billy Crystal joke. Hey, Dad, is it true that Paul McCartney was in another band before Wings?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I talked to someone the other day that's never seen the movie Airplane. I was like, it's like that scene in Airplane. I was like,
was this a young person?
Yes! I was like, hey!
There were DVDs, you know.
Get out of America if you haven't seen Airplane! Do you know an adult that can't make an airplane reference?
Is this person a Russian czar?
Are you nervous? A little bit, yes.
That's
is your
when
first
you realize...
time? No, I've been nervous before.
That's when you realize you're getting old. You're like, I realize most of my references in life come from the movie Airplane.
I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Yeah, that came out in 1980, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. That was, oof.
Wow, you were in your
almost
early 40s then.
30 years ago.
Shut up, youth. That was an Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's stifle.
That was 40 years ago, almost.
Speaking of legendary musical groups, guess who had dinner together?
Who?
All of the Spices except the Posh.
Oh, really?
In England, yes.
Yeah.
Is it good?
eat dinner without that snitty little hologram.
Yeah, well, she doesn't eat dinner or anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, she ate, she already ate once
she
in 1980.
About 2 pounds.
She ate popcorn when she was watching Airplane. She doesn't need to eat since then.
Wow.
Okay.
I think she eats cigarettes. Seriously.
Kermit the Frog.
Or cannibals, perhaps.
Kermit the Frog has issued a statement that he is not, clarification, he's not dating Lady Gaga.
Really?
He went to the MTV Video Music Awards with her. They were spotted on the red carpet together. He says he was just giving her a ride, and then she left her credentials in the limo.
There's so many songs about and what you're on the eye. And who's got their hand up your butts?
Mm-hmm. It's weird. They seem like they would have a lot in common. Aren't they both hermaphrodites? Oh, come on. I'm kidding.
Do frogs have both boy parts and girl parts?
I believe they do. Jim made a very indelicate comment.
Gaga, her penis, and me.
See, Jim Louise Ward.
I was waiting to get that point. The song is about 20 minutes in.
Thanks, Paul Williams.
All right. We have no information one way or the other about what Lady Gaga has or doesn't.
Oh, here it is.
Lady Gaga, her penis, and me.
La, 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 la.
That's weirdly
romantic.
You
should be singing The Crying Game, actually.
Yeah.
It's just really oddly romantic. Mark in Seattle on the healthcare debate. Hello, Mark. Welcome.
Yeah, listening to you talk about the polling for the public option with its really considerable support.
Yes.
I'm concerned as a Democrat that if they don't give the people what they want, that they're going to suffer at the ballot box.
Well, you know
year.
What? I said this just yesterday when I was speaking to a union group that, and we've said this before, Jim, that look, if we don't get health care reform done, Democrats are going to get swept out. I'm telling you right now, and the blue dogs are going to be the first to go. So get a set.
Do it now.
Do
All
it
right.
now!
Do it for the folks, like Bill
live.
O'Reilly wants you to.
I want that. I want, not personally for me, but for working Americans to have an option that if they don't like their health insurance, if it's too expensive, they can't afford it, if the government can cobble together a cheaper insurance policy that gives the same benefits, I see that as a plus for the folks.
Yeah. How are you? This just in, Bill O'Reilly Show has been abruptly canceled. What?
Wait a minute. We have breaking news.
No.
Wow.
That's
Do you think
wild.
He realized that he did that? That he just explained the public option and said he... Okay.
Maybe somebody slipped him some truth serum and he accidentally...
Yeah. He's just talking sense by accident, something.
I think Roger Ailes took him out back after his show and beat him about the face and neck.
He's in the dirt hole.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the silence
it
of
puts the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose again.
Dr. Lecter, I can hear Bill O'Reilly screaming. He's screaming back there. I believe that it did get the hose again.
Yes.
If it did, in fact, say that.
And it put the dog in the basket.
Okay, let's go to John in Chicago. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Yes.
Listen, if we're opposed, or some of your callers are opposed to these greedy, profiteering insurance companies having a monopoly, so we turn everything over to the bureaucracy of the government, which is a monopoly, which we can never, ever hold accountable for anything. How would that possibly be sensible?
Yeah, we can't certainly hold them accountable for Medicare or VA or the congressmen and senators' plans, can we?
How? How can we get that? Once the government runs health care, how do we expose...
The government is not running health care. They would be offering one option that perhaps, by all estimates, 5% of the American people might be engaging in that would enforce a competition with the private insurance companies. How is that a government takeover?
You just said the premiums that we pay to our insurance companies will now go to the government.
I did not. But what are you? Oh, I'm sorry.
You ever heard of Medicare?
Yeah.
It works pretty well.
I just went all town hall on his ass, and I apologize.
It's
And he was trying to use
See,
the phone.
See, if they had called it as...
I'm trying to use the phone!
They, I know you are, but I'm sorry. That was just... I've gotten... You know what? We've been talking about healthcare a little too long. I'm starting to lose my cool.
If they had called it Medicare for All from the start, they wouldn't be having these ridiculous arguments. Medicare, socialized, take over my grandma's. I don't know. It works fine. But socialized, communist-y.
20
hindsight is 20/20 now. Unfortunately.
And a lot of them do peter out at the end like that. They just,
No, Medicare, it's communism. Well, Mom likes it, but and it seems to work great. But I got nothing.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's the part in the Western where they, you know, or any movie where they run out of guns, bullets, and then they just throw the gun at you.
Yeah.
They're like, click, go! 20 minutes after the hour.
Superman would always duck when they threw the gun at him. I thought he was bulletproof, but apparently not gunproof.
Not gunproof. If the whole gun hits you, you're screwed. Anyone knows that.
And guns are made of kryptonite.
It was a gun made of kryptonite,
right,
exactly. Bullets, not so much.
20
Someone
minutes.
Didn't think there.
I don't think that's true.
No.
21 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on the Max Baucus bill and much more on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Senator Debbie Stabenow of the great state of Michigan, whom we know.
This has to work for families. And I understand all of the trade-offs. But the trade-off can't be that a middle-class family can't afford the insurance in this bill.
Yeah, while insurance companies get richer and richer. Thank you, Max Baucus. Tom in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tom.
Yes, Stephanie, I find it slightly ironic and a little bit amusing that the same right-wing nut jobs that say that Obama is trying to turn America into a Russian communistic society are bringing Russian-made AK-47s to feeding. Buy American if you're going to assassinate the president.
Thank you, Tom. My right-wing, you remember Sock, the guy that wrote me a death threat that we had to alert the authorities about?
Uh-huh.
When I was, he wanted someone to shove an AK-47, as I recall, up my glory hole.
That's right.
And that's exactly what I said to him. I said, "What kind of why wouldn't you shove an American-made rifle up my glory hole? What kind of patriot are you, Sock?"
Sock. That's Sock. It's nice to have a friend to help you get to heaven. A special friend who's got an AK-47.
Yes.
He's a retired insurance man.
Yeah, that was true.
Uh-huh.
Big Fox fan.
Much time on his hands. And speaking of time, just look at the clock. It's time for Sock.
Love the Casio accompaniment.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I found, it was just a little, because, you know, sometimes we get stuck on details.
Yes.
It seemed a little, because as I recall, he actually wanted someone to shove an AK-47 up mine and Cindy Sheehan's glory hole, which I'm not sure physically you could get an AK-47 up two people's glory hole at the same time.
Well, I'm not exactly sure he knows exactly what a glory hole is.
It's not a girl part.
No, it is not a girl part.
So that's
in
right
any
there.
Way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of, the whole death threat thing was lost on us because we were too sort of enmeshed in the details.
Well, yeah, that's why we called them, just to, you know, get some clarification.
Yeah, I did. I called them.
Yeah.
At home, which, what did the FBI call that?
Unwise.
Unwise. Yeah. They called that unwise. Uh-huh. That they suggested that I not do that anymore.
Yeah.
It was fun.
We got his permission to put him on the air. That's all you got to do.
He seemed to be pleased.
Yeah.
Pleased as punch.
Uh-huh.
Okay, baby. 28 minutes after the hour, how the White House is planning to counterpunch on this healthcare debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sexually harassed.
Stephanie Miller.
It makes no sense to me. Why would I harass somebody who turns me on?
Mike in Santa Barbara, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
I'm just calling in response to right-wing Jeff that called in a while ago and was complaining about the cost of what the cost of the health insurance reform would be.
Mm.
And, you know, according to the World Health Organization, the rest of the industrialized countries in the world spend half what we spend.
Yep. And so, and get a lot more for their money is the operative thing.
Money. So
yep.
The money is already in the system. We're spending twice what everybody else spends, and we're not getting anything back for it.
And getting nothing. By the way, a lot of the Democrats speaking out for the working folk yesterday, Senator Maria Cantwell.
I can't support a plan that doesn't have the affordability of health care and doesn't have the affordability for my constituents in it.
Along with Senator John Kerry, whom we know of Massachusetts. Senator John Kerry.
We need to make it fairer to working people so that working folks don't get dragged into this at a level where they just don't have the incomes that support it.
By the way, so I was speaking yesterday at the Laborers International Union of North America. Here's a not-so-fun fact for them. 60% of the increases they win at the bargaining table are eaten up by health care costs. How is that not breaking our entire economy? How can we afford not to do something to fix this program? Apparently we don't have salt of the earth in honor of my union friend yesterday, but Jim Ward, well-known Mick Jagger impersonator.
Actually, Keith sings the first verse.
Okay.
Let's drink to the hardworking people. Let's drink to the lowly of birth. Raise your glass to the good and the evil. Let's drink to the salt of the earth. Say a prayer for the common foot soldier.
Thank you,
Jim. Spare a thought for his backbreaking work. Say a prayer for his wife and his children who burn the fires and still till the earth.
He's like a karaoke machine, Jim
When
Ward.
I search a faceless crowd. A swirling mass of gray and black and white.
Oh, boy.
They don't look real to me.
I don't know this song.
In fact, they look so strange.
How do I turn the voice spot off?
I don't know.
Thank you, Jim. That was delightful.
What, the rest of the album?
Why do I not know that song? I've
because
never heard that song in my life.
From 1968.
Oh, great.
That was before I was born.
Yes.
It's great. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, look at it this way. If you look at it, the federal government already holds a monopoly on Social Security. And Medicaid, if you really look at it. I mean, we all pay into it, but
yep.
I don't get to use it. So I would rather have the public option. I would prefer...
You would prefer to pull the plug on grandma is what you're saying.
Oh, yes, I would love to pull, you
yes.
know, because my grandma's rich.
So screw her.
Yeah.
Mike, my right-wing...
Guess you're not in the will anymore.
Mike, my right-wing love muffin in Iowa. Hello, Mike.
Oh, you're still calling me the muffin. Okay.
a muffin top.
Make sure... Or understand, I'm for health insurance reform.
Okay.
My question is, I understand the president say that there's not going to be a dime added to the deficit. And the way he's going to pay for it is pretty strange in the fact that he's identified over $500 billion of waste in Medicaid.
Uh-huh.
Now, doesn't that seem kind of strange that we got a government program that's got over $500 billion in waste.
Well,
right
that's
now.
Why it needs to be fixed.
But
to get
how,
rid of the, said waste.
What's your point?
What government program has not been run into the ground?
Well, I mean, Jim, would you like
Social
to start?
Social Security is still solvent at
yes.
this point and will continue to
yes.
be for quite a while, especially
well,
if
yes,
they change
still,
the tax structure.
But not for long.
No, it'll be around for quite a while.
Yeah, we're not saying that things don't need to be fixed and improved. I mean,
it may require that people making over $100,000 a year have to actually pay into it, which
what?
Makes perfect sense.
Oh, my God, we can't have that.
All right.
God, it's so
as,
easy to shoot down their arguments.
As the right...
Fun.
I know, that was...
Ooh, look at this barrel. It's full of fish.
That was getting too easy. I had to let him go.
Wow. Guess I know what we're having for dinner tonight.
Fish sticks.
What would go with our Max Baucus gruel? Healthcare watered-down oatmeal. I know. Fish in a barrel. All right. As the right jabs continue, White House debates a counter-punching strategy. Facing a near-daily barrage of attacks from conservative opponents, White House officials are engaged in an internal debate over how hard to hit back, even as though they have grown increasingly aggressive in countering allegations they deem to be absurd. Can you imagine those discussions, really? We got to respond to this?
Yeah.
Okay. Here. Administration officials are accelerating their efforts to anticipate and respond to the most sharp-edged charges. White House officials eager to avoid the perception the president is directly engaging you know, nutcases.
Yeah.
Like someone said, oh, well, he should have taken Joe Wilson on. I'm like, he's the president. He's giving a speech. He's going to respond to some yelling moron. Well, would you like to stand up and share with the class the rest of your thoughts? No!
You liar!
Shut up and
lying,
sit down, you moron!
Lying communist, Muslim, atheist, Christian, black guy.
In private, Obama has developed what his advisors say is becoming a familiar response to the new allegations, rolling his eyes in disbelief and asking his staff how to counter them. Can you imagine every meeting starts with, are you...
Heaven kidding me.
Are you kidding me? Really? Really? Several senior advisors said in interviews they are more focused on getting legislation passed than trying to manage the right-wing noise machine. Although Obama does not pore over the conservative attacks himself, he's not oblivious to them, advisors say. He does not watch cable television regularly, but reads his summary. Chris, you know what we need to do?
What?
We need to send him Right-Wing World.
We should!
Mr. President, we watch so you don't have to.
You know,
that's exactly the point of Right Wing World.
He could go to writes@stephaniemiller.com every day after the show to the audio widget and download it himself.
Well, somebody can do it for him.
Somebody at Stephanie Miller International?
Yes.
All right.
Although he is a big BlackBerry guy, maybe we could just find a way to shoot that to him.
I think so.
It's entertaining. It's Right Wing Noise Machine with slide whistle. And a couple of fart jokes. It would lighten up for him. Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel said, and Jim, you've made these historical points as well. Father Coughlin called Roosevelt a socialist. The John Birch Society was created in reaction to Kennedy. Clinton had Richard Mellon Scaife and others who went after him. And now they've come after Obama on socialism and other things. This has always been a creed from those voices dealing with Democratic presidents. But yes, there's an intensity given the rapid media time frame we're all under that's different.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's what's different is the Fox News and the 17 billion right-wing radio stations that just keep parroting the same lies over and over again. All right, let's go to David in D.C. on healthcare. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, over and over and over again. You guys are having way too much fun this morning.
Right?
Michelle Obama's on the tube right now pitching for the importance of healthcare reform. But the one thing I wanted to say is that the ones that are screaming the loudest are those Republicans, especially the retired ones, that are getting government health benefits for the rest of their miserable lives, plus their families.
Yep, absolutely. I hear you. All right. President Jimmy Carter talking once again, echoing his comments on race earlier in the...
When a radical fringe element of demonstrators and others began to attack the President of the United States of America as an animal or as a reincarnation of Adolf Hitler, or when they waved signs in the air that said we should have buried Obama with Kennedy. Those kind of things
Obamacare,
are
he meant.
Beyond the bounds of the way presidents have ever been accepted, even with people who disagree. And I think people that are guilty of that kind of personal attack against Obama have been influenced to a major degree by a belief that he should not be president because he happens to be African-American. It's a racist attitude.
And he's right. He's right. To ignore that the race is any element in all this, it would be ridiculous.
Yeah, disingenuous.
And speaking of ridiculous, Michael Steele.
Huh? When you go down this road and you start just willy-nilly, as I believe President Carter has, throwing race out there, you diminish real instances of racism that needs to be addressed.
What?
That's not the way he rolls, you see. That's not the way he wears his hat or
whatever. So he doesn't perceive any racism in the attacks on Obama.
No. He didn't see any of the Confederate flags at all at the 9/12 rally.
But he did perceive racism when the hypothetical non-existent Oreos were hypothetically tossed at him at that speech.
He apparently missed the placard of the president with a bone through his nose. Yeah. I guess he missed that. Mm-hmm.
It's only racist when it's inconvenient for Michael Steele, apparently.
42 minutes after the hour. Boy. Back with, this is going to shock you. I have some shocking news about the boner when we return. Yes, John Boehner.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Well, see, so I called him by his right name. That's shocking
in
itself.
That's how shocking it is. Yeah.
Exactly. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
27 minutes after the hour. Thank you, RadioTime.com. Someone just sent me, we, for the first time, made the list of the top 19 programs.
Whatever. What?
We're the only progressive talk program up there.
Yes,
really?
We are.
Yep.
We, hey, the Stephanie Miller Show debuts at number 18. Why, thank you, RadioTime.com.
The top 19?
I think wow.
That sounds like that's an arbitrary number.
We're yeah. number 18. Hmm. We're number...
Why don't they have the top 20? Why is it the top 19?
I'm not really sure.
So
they're clever.
Last week.
See, so that it would draw attention to it and you would say things like that.
Yeah, top 19?
What?
Why? Hey, I had to look at that.
But yeah, we are the only progressive talk show there, so
thank you.
Kudos to us.
Dan and... Yay for us.
Yeah,
Dan in L.A.
It's my Mick Jagger that did it, I think.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Well, 2 points. One is that whenever Bill O'Reilly's on our side, I got a big conspiracy question because it makes me feel like something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, right. My spidey sense is immediately activated, yes.
Yeah. And my second point is Jim Ward is a celebrity. I went to a voiceover audition. I saw his name on there, and I got so excited. And then I said to the lady, do you know who that is? And she said, no.
Oh. Oh. Thank you for trying to deflate his giant Emmy-sized ego just a tad bit. He's just letting a little air out of the tires. That's all.
I'm going to ask him what he was auditioning for.
or was he just at the dry cleaners, you know, where they...
Oh, that could be.
All right.
Is there an autographed picture of you at your dry cleaners?
No.
Okay.
Okay, time for America's favorite game show.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner!
This is a startling story. Apparently, the boner is one of the cooler heads in the Republican Party.
Huh. What?
That's funny!
How can you be cool when you're crying?
Well, because he's drunk all the time. That keeps him...
Rob Roy's hurt.
It's just a little behind the scenes. This is the sad state of the Republican Party these days. Minority Leader Boehner spent much of last week trying to persuade a stubborn Joe Wilson to apologize to the House, telling his associates he needed to get to Wilson before the weekend to elicit an apology. As the days drag on, Boehner had to back off. He can't even control his own members because he obviously got all those campaign contributions Joe Wilson did, and he was rapidly accumulating support from the conference's dominant right wing. At some point, he realized he had no choice but to get behind Wilson because that's where his conference was going. He's got to lead, this one insider said, he's got to lead a party that's been so battered and beaten and it's incredibly angry. Angry at what's going on in the country, angry at the way it's being treated by the majority. So on Tuesday, Boehner took to the floor to accuse the Democrats of a publicity stunt in pushing for the resolution, which he apparently...
Oh, wow.
Was trying to avoid by getting
right.
the stick that is Joe Wilson to apologize. I love this line in the story. Many observers, including Republicans, noted that the leader, a wisecracking chain smoker, who sometimes finds it hard to mask his emotions. Really? I hadn't noticed that.
No, really? Not with all the crying on the House floor and the streaks of bronzer.
Seemed just as disgusted with Wilson, making little eye contact with the man he was supposed to be defending. Apparently, he and Eric Cantor have struggled to moderate the rhetorical excesses of House conservatives. You know, the birthers and the death panel people, blah. Sources say they've been especially wary of the possible damage inflicted on the party's reputation by Representative Michelle Bachmann, who last fall called for an investigation into whether members of Congress are pro-America or anti-American. They, too, are horrified by that crazy Minnesota Congressman Michelle Bachmann, as we are. How much do you love that story? John Boehner, who throws a tantrum or two on the House floor every other day, he's the cooler head in a Republican. He's trying to moderate the nutcakes in the Republican Party. Wow. Speaking of which, the anti-abortion group Operation Rescue says it's out of money.
Oh, bless their
Randall
heart.
Terry may have to do a benefit of some sort. He's quite the...
his records aren't selling.
Quite the singer. They say they're completely out of money. They blame the recession.
I need scratch to stop the chicks from destroying their own bodies.
The leader now, what's his name, Newman, said, we ate right through our savings and we laid several people off and cut back on a lot of projects. We're 1 month away from closing our doors. Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, shucks.
They lost their main opponent when, of course, Dr. Tiller was killed.
Yeah.
So they've pretty much all their...
Oh, well.
Opponents have been killed. So, the leader
strategy
said,
then on so many levels.
Yeah,
they continued to they vowed to continue Operation Rescue's work even on a downsized scale. He said that Tiller's death has nothing to do with his group's current struggles. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Plus, maybe they figured out that the Republicans are never going to get rid of abortion because it's such a great campaign issue for them.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Cynthia in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Synth.
Hey, I love you guys so much. Thank you for bringing humor into my day. Otherwise, I'd go crazy.
Thank you. You know, we're number 18 on the top 19 shows on RadioTime.com.
I've heard that. You're very impressive.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I couldn't be more impressed with myself.
I wish I was number 18 in something. Well, the LaRouches are out here, too, in Seattle. And yesterday I heard a radio report that they were up in a suburb, and a man whose family had gone through the Holocaust, who had lost numerous family members in the death camps, saw their pictures of Obama with the Hitler mustache. And he got so incensed that he, you know, went over to them and he grabbed their signs and he, you know, tore them down. And he, the old man, got arrested.
Aye.
Disgusting. He lost family members in these people.
I know, which is one of the reasons. It just, we got to stop throwing around these analogies every other day. I mean, it's just...
Well, except with Bush, there is a connection with his grandfather,
who was a Nazi.
Roosevelt administration, and actually supported the Nazis during World War II. So it's just a little more apt in that case.
And, FYI, Hitler did say Poland had weapons of mass destruction. If you're a bugaboo for historical facts, then
they burned down the Reichstags and blame it on the communists.
And then it could be
springtime for
George Bush
and
Iraq.
Hermann Göring said, "If you keep people scared enough, they'll give up all their liberties." And they took a page right out of his playbook.
See what I did there? I just broke my own rule about Nazi analogies. Hello, Jim in Jacksonville.
Boy, that way to put your foot down, Steph.
I don't have much control on the proceedings around here. Hello, Jim.
Hey, guys. You had a caller a while ago saying that McCain would have had us out of Afghanistan by now, but he also made the claim on the campaign trail that he knew where Osama bin Laden was. He had a plan to capture him.
Oh, yeah, but he wouldn't tell us. I guess he forgot.
I think it's time for him to come forward and inform the Joint Chiefs of his double secret plan to capture Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, maybe he just put Osama bin Laden on double secret probation. Maybe that was it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, if you had right wing crowd counters running your numbers, you would be 0.18 instead of number 18, which is even better than one.
Thank you. Yes, I should have. I need a new crowd counter.
0.18.
Well, we.
All right.
We knew where Osama bin Laden was at one time in Tora Bora, and George Bush decided not to get him.
Jeff in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's Joe in Spokane, and guys and gals, good morning.
Guys and gals, good morning
to
you.
Hey, those people
you
that
betcha.
Say the government can't do anything, I hope they never get on an airplane because jumbo jets are just falling out of the sky because the Federal Aviation Administration don't keep you safe. And don't get in a boat. Don't go on the ocean. The Coast Guard might come.
Yeah.
Last time the Coast Guard
when does the government ever run properly?
Hey, but the Coast Guard don't rescue anyone. Their boats sink. And then don't get on the interstate highway with your car. There may not be any cement a mile ahead. I tell you, stay home.
Joe, this is sarcasm you're engaging in here, isn't it?
Not me.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't send your bills through the post office. They'll never...
You'll never get there.
Ellen in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate as well. Hey, Ellen.
Good morning. So the love muffin who called in about the $500 million Medicare waste, fraud, and abuse. Here's the deal. Medicare pays bills from insurance companies and doctors, and some of those people, I hate to tell you, aren't always really honest. I'm sorry.
Why? I don't understand.
But this is America.
What? Speaking of which, in my one moment of bipartisan outreach today, we want to wish Dick Cheney well, who has been hospitalized for elective back surgery. He's finally going to get his head out of his ass. He's electing to get his head out of his ass.
See what you did there?
You see what I did there? I made you think I had a moment of human compassion.
Yourselves.
Okay. Mike in Pasadena, you get to close us out today. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Stephanie.
Yes.
Love your show. Congratulations on number 18.
Thank you. With a bullet.
To aspire to.
Yeah.
I had that caller who said, how do we control the government? Well, I want to know, when was the last time he got to vote for the chairman of United Healthcare or WellPoint or Anthem?
Yep.
You know, it just kills me that these people just don't get it.
Yep, absolutely. You are the smartest boy in class. Whew, thank God we didn't have one yet. Not a minute to spare.
Right under the wire.
That's it for us today. Tune in Monday for the Rude Pundit, who is rude and hilarious. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.